The body goes to the grave, but the soul and the spirit are going to go to heaven, and they're going to be reunited with a resurrection body. But as long as you're here in this body of corruption, this body, you have a sin nature. And I don't care who they are, whether it's a little old lady or a little old man or a teenager, everybody has a sin nature. And that sin nature has different trends, different patterns, different areas of weakness, different areas of strength, different lust patterns. Everybody's sin nature is like that. It's composed of an area of weakness, and this is the source of temptation. And then it has an area of strength, and this is where human good comes from. For example, the trend toward legalism in the Bible, self-righteousness is one of the things that our Lord combated. The Pharisees were the most self-righteous group of hypocritical religious people the world had ever seen. And they were indeed the ones who plotted to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And they assumed that they were spiritual because they kept the law, supposedly. They actually invented the law as they went along. And so you have a sin nature. I have a sin nature. Paul the Apostle has a sin nature. And Paul made it very clear when he said, I don't understand. He said, I want to do what's right, but I keep on doing what's wrong. And this is in Romans 7:15. And he said, it's clear that it's sin in me. So let's take a look at your life. Here you are, here I am, sitting here recording this radio show. Do I have a sin nature? Yes. Does my sin nature tempt me on a daily basis? Yes. Does my sin nature cause me to sin? No. What causes me to sin is my volition. When my volition makes a decision to follow the temptation, then I sin. My sin nature cannot force me to sin. My volition makes that decision. So the sin nature is the source of the temptation, but the volition is the source of the sin. Your sin nature cannot make you sin. It can only tempt you to sin. And if you choose to give in to your sin nature, then you cannot live the Christian life and serve God. Because the sin nature will dominate you. It will control you. And that doesn't mean you're not a Christian anymore. That's not what I'm saying. It's Christians that get out of fellowship with God are Christians who allow their sin nature to control them. Now think about it this way. If you draw two circles on a piece of paper, one of those circles could be your relationship with God through Jesus Christ your Lord. And it is an eternal relationship that's never going to change. So if you draw a circle and you put an X inside of that circle, that X is you. And you are in Christ Jesus. You're in the circle. And Jesus Christ our Lord said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I give unto you eternal life, and you will never perish. Neither shall any man ever pluck you out of my Father's hand. My Father which gives you to me is greater than all. The Lord Jesus Christ made that plain. And so you are in Christ. You're in the circle. But we can now draw another circle. And if we put an X in that circle could represent temporary fellowship with God. And that means that you can get out of that circle. Temporary fellowship with God is given when you are under control of the Holy Spirit, when He is controlling your life. But if the old sin nature is controlling your life, then the Bible says you are out of fellowship. You are carnal. You are fleshly. You're in the flesh. You're letting the old man run your life. And so this is a battle that you will face every day. Will you let the sin nature control your life, or will you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life? Well, the answer for us is always dynamic and simple. When we know we've sinned, when we are aware that we have sinned, We go to God the Father and we admit our sin. That's problem-solving device number one on the 10 problem-solving devices list that we do. Rebound. Rebound is recovery from sin. When you sin, 1 John 1:9 makes it clear, if we will confess our sin, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. This is part of the problem in traditional Christianity today. This is not being taught. Spirituality is not being made plain. Thus, people are going to church. People are involved in worship service while they are, in fact, out of fellowship with God by unconfessed sin in their life. Heck, a lot of people don't even know what sin is. A lot of people say, well, I don't really sin because I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't say bad words. Listen, the Bible says there are mental attitude sins. You can commit a sin and never get out of your seat. You could be seated and thinking about that person that you hate, that person that you cannot stand, whether it's your neighbor or whether it's one of your in-laws, but you can't stand them and you hate them, and the very thought of them makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. That's called bitterness. And when you have bitterness in your soul, you are, in fact, sinning. It's a mental attitude sin. And you can commit a lot of different mental attitude sins. These sins can be jealousy, bitterness, envy, sins like that, fear. And so you have to learn to control these things so that they do not control you. And when you commit a sin, you have to go to God and admit it. So let's assume you're seated there and you're thinking about this jerk that you hate, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm sinning. I am sitting here wishing that this person would drop off the end of the earth. That's a sin. And until you go to God and admit the sin, you will be out of fellowship. Now, mental attitude sin, no one knows you did it. No one saw you do it. It's between you and God. It's the same way with lust or perversion. No one sees it. That's between you and God. But when you sin, you break fellowship with God. You do not break your relationship. You didn't lose your relationship with God because you sinned. You broke fellowship with God in time. Remember the two circles? One circle the X is in, that's your relationship with God, and that's eternal. The other circle is your fellowship with God, and that's temporal. Yes, you can get out of fellowship with God, but no, He's not going to kick you out of the relationship when you sin. He may discipline you, and the Bible's clear about that, that there is discipline associated with sin. In Romans 12:6, it talks about those whom God loves, He disciplines, and He scourges with a whip. And so when we succumb to temptation, when we give in to temptation, we move into carnality. And if we don't confess the sin, then we are asking for discipline for God. So mental attitude sins are one way that the sin nature controls your life. Another way could be a sin of the tongue. And this is very obvious. This takes place a lot of times. Sins of the tongue. And a sin of the tongue is you, could be called slander, malicious gossip, maligning, lying. It could be a lot of different things. So if you have jealousy or hatred or bitterness in your heart, in your thoughts, and now you begin to talk about that person that's the object of your hatred, then your tongue can become a lethal instrument of a chain of verbal sins in your life. Your tongue can be very vicious. It can be a vile form of carnality. You can get into sins of the tongue casually, thoughtlessly, haphazardly, even stupidly. But more often than not, your motivation is circulated from some sort of hatred, vindictive, mental attitude sin. Don't ever be lured into talking about another person. If someone is talking to you and says, "What do you think about old Joe Blow?" it is not your position to answer that. If they ask you a question like that, you can say one or two things. "What do you think about old Joe Blow?" Or, "I would rather not discuss Joe Blow. Let's discuss ourselves." See, we're not in the business of talking about other people. When we talk about other people, we sometimes malign them. When we talk about other people, we are gossiping about them. We can spread a lie that may not be true. We can spread rumors. Sometimes we gossip, and then sometimes we slander. You repeat a lie, you gossip. You repeat the truth, and you can slander a person. So you have to avoid that. The Bible says don't do that. Don't let your tongue get you out of fellowship with God. Maligning, judging, vilifying someone that's become the object of your hatred is wrong. And so today I want to challenge you. If you've got someone in your mind that you can't stand, if you've been talking about that person to another, if you have slandered that person to another, if you have maligned that person to another, you need to confess that sin to God. Those unkind things you said about another person might be true, but that's not the point. You're still committing the sin of judging, and you are superimposing your authority over God's authority. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12:19, never take revenge. Let God handle it. Listen to this. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. If you are trying to get even with someone because you're jealous of them, you're really doing that person a favor. Because when you malign them and talk about them and slander them and run them down, they're going to get blessing. Because the Bible says, don't judge lest you be judged. Because the way you measure, it's going to be measured back to you again. You can read it in Matthew 7, the first few verses. Actually, God will bless them because, and He will curse you because you can't keep your nose out of their business. The monkey over in Africa called a proboscis monkey that has that 2 or 3 foot long nose, that can be you. So when you see somebody doing something you don't understand, don't go running to someone and say, "Do you know what I saw? I saw, oh, so-and-so do." It's none of your business. You let the Lord handle it. If this is a child of God, God can handle His own children without you having to handle it for Him. You want to be a miserable Christian? You just continue to malign people. Continue to judge people. And you will find yourself the most miserable person in the world. You're asking for it. Because this is one of the 7 sins that God says He hates in Proverbs 6:16 through 19. That's right. 7 sins God says He hates in Proverbs 6:16 through 19. And it's not the stupid movie that they came out with about the 7 sins. I have some goofy thing. No, this is the real deal. And one of them is sticking your nose in someone else's business. So we have sins of the tongue, we have mental attitude sins, and we have overt sins. These can be a source of discipline as well. Our old sin nature can tempt us to do horrible things. Drunkenness, stealing, adultery, even murder are overt activities the Bible names as sin in Exodus 20, 13 through 15, and also in Romans 13, 9. So these things can cause you to really get into a lot of discipline in your life. you know, these verbal sins and mental attitude sins, they can hurt people too. This overt sins, that can really be the problem. You get punched in the nose, and so what did you do? You punched somebody else in the nose, right? Listen, what did you solve? Two wrongs don't make a right. You never solve a problem by creating a problem. Try to remember that. You don't solve a problem by creating a problem. You're just going to bring shame and discredit to yourself if you seek revenge. Let the Lord handle it. Paul put it this way, I reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God's plan for each one of us is to advance, to move to be a mature believer, to glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum in our life. That's why we're told to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. That's why we're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Your old sin nature, you got it. And I don't care if you're 80 or 18. It can come out at any moment in time. A person that's 80 years old is not going to be tempted like a person that's 18 years old just because of the physical aspect of growing older. But they can sin just as much. I've often used the illustration of, and you may have heard me use it here, of a young girl who comes to church and she's pregnant. And some older woman in the church begins to judge her. And maybe she says they shouldn't let her in here like that. She ought to be ashamed of herself. Look at what she's doing. Boy, they begin to run her down and malign her. And yet this is the same little old lady that every Sunday puts flowers in front of the pulpit so that she can hear the praise of the pastor. She lives for his approbation. She lives to hear him say, "Oh, Mrs. Smith, we love those flowers. Oh, Mrs. Smith, thank you for the brownies." And Miss Smith just loves to hear her name called out. That's approbation lust. Now, the little girl, that's a different story. That might have been sex lust. But you don't think Mrs. Whatever at 80 years old is going to have sex lust. That's not the same pattern. You see what I'm saying? The lust is always there, but you're going to lust for different things. And so as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you must learn to recognize when your old sin nature is sticking its head out. And you must learn how to control the sin nature. You must learn not to let it take control of your life. It's there. It's always there. And it's going to be there until you die. This is one of the reasons that you have to die. Your body is infected with sin, and this body won't work in heaven. You're going to get a new body, a resurrection body, a body like the body of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that body will not have a sin nature. It'll be a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember that as long as you're here, you have a sin nature. And you have a Bible. You have the filling of the Holy Spirit. You have the necessary assets to overcome that. And listen, even when you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, the Bible says in 1 John 2. You have a defense attorney. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He will defend you. Satan may go before the Father and try to malign you and say, "Look at him. He's supposed to be a Christian. Look what he's doing." And the Lord Jesus Christ will defend you. He's mine. I will take care of him. I will handle this. That's what 1 John 2 talks about, our advocate in heaven, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is an accuser. He's always been an accuser. We don't need to give him any more ammunition than he already has. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our flaws. He knows our failures. And he will be quick to bring them up. And so we must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must learn to recognize the sin nature and its trends towards, listen, your sin nature can be, have a trend towards degeneracy, and your sin nature can have a trend towards legalism. You know, it's one thing to be immoral. The immoral degenerate is very wicked. But there's also a moral degenerate. And the moral degenerate is the man who will kill you and think he's doing God a favor. He thinks he doesn't sin because he doesn't do certain things. And he thinks that God has put him here to run the show. And he's a degenerate. But he's moral. And the immoral degenerate, listen, at least you know where to find him. You know where he's going to be. He may be at the bar, he may be at whatever, but you know what he's up to. But that immoral, the moral degenerate, well, you don't know what that guy's thinking. He's often very religious. He's often very self-righteous. And he often assumes that he's been put here to correct people and straighten people out. I bet you know somebody like that. I bet you know some super spiritual, moral degenerate who thinks he's better than everybody else. And he promenades to church every Sunday, makes sure that he gives money and he wants everybody to know how much he gives, makes sure that he acts in self-righteous and holy, even in his conversation. You know, that's a phony, baloney sort of guy sometimes. And that's the guy you and I do not want to be. God wants you to be yourself. He gave you your own identity, your own personality, and he gives you the option of taking his word and learning it, using it, growing. And as you do, you'll be able to know when your sin nature is raising its ugly head. And you'll be able to know the difference between temptation coming from the sin nature and temptation coming from the world. And you will be able to know when you sin, when you failed, and how to recover from your sin by using the rebound technique and confessing your sin to God. And you will know when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will know when you're carnal and under control of the sin nature. So think about it. Keep listening, keep learning, and keep growing. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I found out where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
Be part of the Swing with the Legends Over the Line Tournament, Dinner, Auction, and Golf Tournament Fundraiser, May 21st through 23rd. One of 25 former Major League Baseball players will be at each table during dinner and be a member of each golf foursome, including Hall of Fame members Fergie Jenkins and Eddie Murray. The Swing with the Legends weekend is a benefit for One Safe Place, the Luis Miramontes Memorial Foundation, and the Colt 45 South City Park Security Fund. For more info and to get the best deal on the dinner and golf, visit swingwiththelegendsreading.com or call 244-0118, extension 202.
Hey, this is Carl Bott from Free Fire Radio. Tune in from 7 to 9, Monday through Friday, for Free Fire Radio and hear what's going on in this town. Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call. KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few minutes, I would like to ask you to stay with me. As usual, it's going to be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education. And we will do all of this without any manipulation, because we do not ever manipulate people. We're not trying to con anyone. We're not trying to ask you to join up, fess it up, give it up, nothing like that. This show is simply about giving you accurate information. Information that hopefully will help you verify as well as identify what God's plan is for your life. And if you're able to do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan. So my prayer is that this radio show will assist you. Let me remind you, I'm not a pastor. It's not my job to be your pastor. I'm like a window, a voice of fresh air, I hope. And my objective is to give you some information that will challenge you and give you a thirst and a desire to want to grow more. That you will pray that God would lead you to a well-qualified pastor, that you could sit under that man's authority and you could listen to him teach you the Word of God on a consistent basis. This is how you will be made rich spiritually, because you will develop a treasure in your soul. It's called a word treasure. This is the treasure of the Word of God in your soul. And if you do that, if you're able to identify that pastor, then you will grow in grace in a wonderful way. It's always amazing to me. I want this to be a very practical show today, so I want to talk practically to you. I remember being in school, and I remember some people that were happy just to get through the eighth grade. I know some people that went to the eighth grade and never went any further. And they did have wonderful lives, but some didn't. Some people went through high school. Some people went through college. Some people went to graduate school. Some people have a desire to know more than other people. Some people just have a desire to get along, just to get with it, just to make a paycheck and go home. If you try to compare that to the Christian life, I know that's a silly analogy, but, you know, a lot of Christians don't have any desire to go deep. They don't have any desire to become graduate school type Christians. They don't want to learn any theology. They just want to get enough of the Bible to make them feel happy about being a Christian. And sometimes I call that going through the ritual without any reality to it. It is true that you must know Jesus Christ as your Savior if you hope to have eternal life. Because the only way you or I would ever get to heaven is through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone and no other way. The Bible is clear about that when it says, "For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should brag about it." And so all of us enter into the plan the same way. We all enter into the royal family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But once we're in the family, we don't all grow the same. It's always interesting to me to see those people who have a desire to grow and those people who have a desire to not grow. You know, I think someone once said there are three types of people: the person that makes things happen, the person that watches things happen, and the person that says, "What happened?" I don't know which one of those people you are, but if you want God to use you, if you want to glorify God to the max, then you must be the kind of person that makes things happen. And the only way that you're ever going to do that is to obey the mandates found in the Bible. The first mandate you must obey is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a command. The second one is be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. You cannot function in the Christian life apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this is where much of the breakdown comes in modern Christianity today, because it's not really taught that much. If you go into any Christian bookstore and look up some of these books, and my goodness, fortunes are made printing and selling books. If you look at some of these books, very rarely will they tell you anything about being filled with the Spirit. But remember, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. The moment you believed in Jesus Christ, the moment you were placed in the family of God, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, no man can take you out of the Father's hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no one, John 10:28-29, no one can take you out of my Father's hand. That's a wonderful promise. And you are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Much like maybe someone canning some jelly at home, and in the old way, they used to put paraffin wax on top of the jar. They put the jelly in there and then put some paraffin wax on top of it, and that would seal it, and you wouldn't eat it until you broke the wax off the top. The Holy Spirit is sealed you inside of God's unique plan. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And this is the promise that Jesus made in John 14 and 16 when he said, when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be your tutor, your guide, your mentor. The original Greek word for that is the paraclete. A paraclete is a mentor, not a parakeet, not a bird. A paraclete, a mentor. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He mentors us. And how does he do that? Well, if we sit under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor and we learn God's Word, we are being mentored by means of the Holy Spirit. Remember Operation Z, a wonderful concept, much like Zorro? The Z stands for the communication of God's Word. The pastor communicates it. The other side of the Z is the comprehension. The Holy Spirit captures that information. And then he brings it down into your soul where you can comprehend it. And once you comprehend it, then it has to be converted into epinosis, which is literally doctrine on the launching pad of your soul. It's called wisdom. See, there is a difference between knowing the Bible and knowing the Bible. If you know the Bible, that's gnosis, that's knowledge you understand. But epinosis, the preposition epi in front of the word gnosis, that means full. That's the knowledge you understand and use. That's the difference between hearing the Bible taught and applying what you hear. The application is epinosis. The hearing or the comprehension is gnosis. This is what the Holy Spirit's for. He is to help you as your pastor teaches God's Word to you, to comprehend what the pastor taught. And now your volition must make a decision to comply with the mandate. If you don't comply, that's up to you. You have the freedom and the privacy to say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. And by the way, no one's perfect. No one does it right all the time. We all sin. We all fail. That sometimes is a real shocker when we do something that we didn't think we were capable of doing. And I know you've done it before, so have I. We shock ourselves. We say, my goodness, how could I have done that? I'm supposed to be a Christian. I thought a Christian wouldn't do this, and look what I just did. That's right, Christians do some pretty nasty things sometimes. Look at David. Look at Moses. Did not Moses do some weird things sometimes? Did he not murder somebody once? Didn't David commit murder? Didn't David commit adultery? I mean, keep going through the Bible, and you're not going to find any perfect people anywhere. We all have a sin nature, and this is part of the problem. You and I have a sin nature, and that sin nature will be with us until we die and get a resurrection body. That body will not be related to Adam, and that body will not have a sin nature. But as long as you're here, you have a sin nature. And you have something that can stand against it. It's called the Holy Spirit. And so you can do what the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or you can live under the power of the flesh and be called a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian is a Christian that's out of fellowship with God. He's a Christian that is not growing. He's a Christian that does not use problem-solving device number one, which we know to be rebound. He doesn't confess his sin when he commits it. He enjoys it and stays in it and relishes it, more to say. He ignores it sometimes and fails to admit it. Sometimes he doesn't even know that he sinned, because he might not even realize that mental attitude sins are some of the biggest culprits of all. Yes, sin comes in three categories. Things you think, for sure. Things you say, yes. And even things you do. And so, with God the Holy Spirit in control, He will point out these sins to you. And He will, what the Bible says, He will convict you of them, or convince you you're wrong. And then in your own volition, your own soul, you decide, am I willing to admit it to God that I failed, or will I try to make an excuse? Will I try to cover it up? Will I try to hide it? See, that doesn't work. So if you want to be used by God, if you want to have a full Christian life that has an impact for Jesus Christ in today's world, you must get with the program. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, stay filled with the Spirit, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as per 2 Peter 3:18, and that's another mandate. It is not a request. He's not asking you, please grow, please grow. He's telling you, grow. There's another verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If you can be ashamed, then can not be ashamed, can you be ashamed? And the answer is yes. How would you ever be ashamed? Well, look at it this way. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, not the great white throne, that's for the unbelievers, but when you are evaluated, are you going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or are you going to see all of your good works burned up as wood, hay, and stubble, as per 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Good works burned up. Why would that happen? Because you did the right thing, but you did it in the wrong way. Is it right to pray? Yes. Is it right to give? Yes. Is there a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it? Yes. Anything you do for God while you are not filled with the Holy Spirit is human good. Anything. Any choir service, any giving, any testimony, any mission trip. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's human good. It's wood, hay, and stubble. How would you know for sure if you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, you know you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit at salvation. You know you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you know that you've been told to be filled with the Spirit. And you know how to be filled with the Spirit. If you name any known sin, God's faithful and just to forgive you, purify you from that sin, and fill you with the Spirit. So, is there unconfessed sin in your life? Because if there is, you are not filled with the Spirit. But as long as you keep a short account, and don't wait till you go to bed at night to do it, if you keep a short account of your sins, then you can pretty well be assured you are filled with the Holy Spirit all day long. And you will know immediately when you sin, when you choose in your volition to go against God's rules, go against God's word, to do something you know is wrong, then you will know the Holy Spirit will convict you that you're out of fellowship. And you must confess it immediately. Does this mean that this is a license to sin? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that if you want to grow up and get out of kindergarten, if you want to graduate from high school, if you want to get into college, using that school analogy again, and become a graduate Christian, it's going to take you following the mandates of the Word of God. You must study. You must grow. Why should you do that? Because our Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me. Well, how much do you really know about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? My pastor has been teaching a study in the life of Christ for over 800 hours. You want to know something about Jesus Christ? Get into that study. But you got some catching up to do. Over 800 hours we have been studying the life of Christ. We have not even gotten to the crucifixion yet. So there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to know. You will never learn it in your entire lifetime. But if you're going to be a graduate school believer, if you're going to be a believer with a PhD, if you're going to be that believer that God could even use to instruct other believers, then you must grow up spiritually. It's essential that you do, because this is a supernatural life, and it requires a supernatural power to live it. Thus, with the filling of the Holy Spirit and with the living Word of God in your soul, your thinking begins to be renovated, changed. And this brings on what the Bible calls a relaxed mental attitude. You begin to have an RMA, a relaxed mental attitude. What is that? Well, that is using the faith rest drill, problem solving device number 3. When you have the faith rest drill, when you can stand behind the promises of God, then you are relaxed. And there are over 7,000 promises found in the Bible. Many of them are on our website, by the way. It's rickhughesministries.org. You can find the promises there. One of my friends took all of those promises and had them put into a book called Biblical Promises and Principles of the Bible. There they are. They're all available. They're all for you. They're all like cash in the bank. You cannot cash them if you don't know where they are, if you don't know what they are. They are the shield that you stand behind. They are your protection. They are what you can bring up to your Heavenly Father and say, God, you promised this. I claim this promise. And, you know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Don't misunderstand. Your Father is willing to give you many things, but He's not going to give you something that will destroy you. He's going to give you something that might glorify Him and complement your life, but not something that will destroy you. So quit praying to win the lottery. I know what you're praying for. And it's not going to work because you couldn't handle it. I mean, you're going to wind up saying, if I could just get that $60 million lottery, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever you go. You'll just be unhappy in more palatial circumstances, but you're still going to be unhappy. Because money's not the key to happiness. You should remember this. Jesus Christ said these words Himself. He said, happiness belongs to those people who hear My Father's word and who keep it. That's the secret to happiness. And so as you grow in grace, as you, using the school analogy, as you get into college and get into graduate school, this means your thinking is changing. You're learning the 10 problem-solving devices. You understand rebound. You understand the filling of the Holy Spirit. You understand the faith rest drill. You understand doctrinal orientation and grace orientation. You understand a personal sense of destiny. You understand personal love for God and impersonal love for others. You understand sharing the happiness of God and occupation with Christ. Those are the 10 unique problem-solving devices. And if you know them, and if you use them, if you learn them, then you can live an outstanding life in the devil's world. A supernatural life in the devil's world. Not a life without temptation, no. Not a life that guarantees you wealth and prosperity, no. But a life that guarantees you no fear, a life that guarantees you no worry, a life that guarantees you no stress, a life that guarantees you complete peace with God from knowing His Word, honoring His Word, living in His Word by means of the power of the Holy Spirit, and not living in guilt and shame and remorse because you drifted under control of your sin nature and you found yourself in carnality. You know, we live in the devil's world. And if you, like me, read the paper, listen to the news, you see the devil making ground every day. I'm afraid that our country, the United States of America, is changing quicker than we could have believed. We have become so obsessed with so many things that are so unnecessary. We spend so much time and so much money fighting things that are goofy, crazy. Our society is changing. People are worried about things right and left, and they think some politician is going to cure it. Maybe if we could elect this guy, or maybe if we could elect that guy. Well, sure, I have my favorite politician, but I know, and you know this too, that no man can change anything, because the Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. There's only one thing that can change this, and that's you and me. If we grow to be spiritually mature believers, then we become part of the anchor, part of the pivot in the nation that can deliver the nation. But we're not going to clean up the devil's world. See, this is what religious activism wants to do. Religious activism wants to clean up the devil's world. They want to shut down all the houses of ill repute and make sure that there's nothing on television but G-rated shows and on down the line. They don't want to see any sin of any sort. Well, it's the devil's world. You're not going to clean it up. People have sin natures. Anybody you elect to office, president, vice president, they're going to have a sin nature also. So you're not here to clean up the devil's world. That's not your policy. That's not your job. That's God will handle that. Your job is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if some Christian comes around and says, you need to get involved in politics and we need to clean up the devil's world, I'm just telling you, it's not going to work. If you will focus on your spiritual life, if you will focus on growing in grace, if you will get under a well-qualified pastor and begin to study God's Word every day, keep a notebook, keep notes, and go back over it and look at this stuff and learn this stuff and apply this stuff, you will deliver your nation. You will do it because you will be part of the pivot. You will be the anchor. But if you get involved in politics and you waste your energy and your time supporting some candidate that has a sin nature that you think is going to turn things around, you're kidding yourself. It won't happen. The only thing that will turn the course of history around for this nation, what we're facing right now, is a spiritual revival. And the only way that's going to happen is through some sort of awakening. Right now, I don't see that awakening on hand. I don't know that you'll ever see another evangelist like Billy Graham or someone like that who held mass crusades and many, many people came to Christ. I don't know that you'll ever see that again. And I don't know what you'll see in the future as our country changes, as our attitude changes about Christianity and people that are Christians begin to be demonized and marginalized in the devil's world. Even in the military, even in schools and institutions where it shouldn't be, all of a sudden we find God being forced out of the public venue, and we find people that are looking for answers in the devil's world, and there are no answers except the ones the devil gives. And so you can't clean it up. You want to grow up? You want to have an impact? You want to be that man of God, that Gideon in your generation? Then learn God's Word and grow to spiritual maturity. And you can have a national impact and a historical impact on your nation. Your mission is not to stabilize American politics. Your mission is to stabilize your spiritual life, to become a mature believer, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's your mission. Because the only way you will ever deliver America, the only thing that will ever get us off the track we're on, is one believer at a time reaching spiritual maturity. One believer at a time. One believer in Cheyenne. One believer in Tulsa. One believer in Grass Valley. One believer in Houston. One believer in Jackson, Mississippi. On and on where this radio show is broadcast. When those type of believers surface, mature believers sitting on the ministry of a pastor, learning God's Word every day, replicating the life of Christ, glorifying God to the maximum, that will have an invisible impact in the devil's world. This is why he fights you so much. This is why he doesn't want you to hear these things. This is why he doesn't want you to study your Bible. He's not worried about you going to church and singing Do Lord in 97 verses. He's not worried about that. He's not worried about your emotional overload. He's worried about you renovating your thinking and beginning to acquire the mind of Christ. What do I mean by that? Well, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. He's worried about you thinking like Christ thought, learning divine viewpoint, beginning to use the faith rest drill, beginning to use the problem-solving devices, and becoming a part of the pivot, part of the anchor that'll hold this nation together. As the pivot grows, one person at a time, God's hand will keep this nation afloat. No pivot, we're going down. As the storms of political unrest always appear on the horizon, it's always going to be and it always has been. This is the devil's world. He's not ever going to leave it alone. See, we send out missionaries all over the world. So what does Satan want to do? Shut us down. He doesn't want missionaries going out all over the world. Now, there are some things he doesn't mind, some religions he doesn't mind, because it's not truth. And so he will promote those things. But if you talk about Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that's going to cause problems. Our Lord was crucified. He was put to death by criminals who manipulated the charges against him. And then they turned on the disciples, and Jesus warned them, you're going to have to pick up your cross and follow me, because what happened to me is going to happen to you. When I'm gone, they're going to come after you. And they did. And you listen to me. They're going to come after you too. You need to put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6. You need to pick up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Put it on. If you don't understand that, let me know. I'll do everything I can to help you. I'll give you all the information I can. But no one can grow but you. No one can make a decision but you. You must decide yourself. Will I have an impact in the devil's world? Will I grow to spiritual maturity? Will I put on the armor of God? Will I renovate my thinking and begin to replicate the life of Christ? Or will I go back to the school analogy? Will I just go to the sixth grade spiritually and drop out? Is that what you want to do? Because if that's the way it is, then you're never going to have an impact in the devil's world. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. Critical times and critical times like this, we need you. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouth.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came. Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Secretary of State John Kerry says the death of the Afghan Taliban leader in a drone strike, quote, sends a clear message to the world that we will continue to stand with our Afghan partners. A senior commander of the Afghan Taliban, as well as Afghanistan's intelligence agency, is confirming today the extremist group's leader, Mullah Mohammad Akhtar Mansour, was killed across the border in Pakistan by a U.S. drone strike. President Obama has left on a week-long trip to Asia. First stop today, Vietnam.
What we want to demonstrate with this visit is, you know, a significant upgrade in the relationship between the United States and Vietnam as partners on many issues, even as we have areas of difference that will continue to be the case.
Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes. A massive frozen food recall involves millions of packages of